Come this morning to Genesis chapter 32. And we're looking at this passage that we read from earlier, from verse 22 to the end of the chapter. We've been following the journey of Jacob's life. And here is a man who has cheated, he has deceived. He has twisted circumstances to get his own way. To get the inheritance that he wants, and the inheritance that was promised by God, Jacob has lived up to his name. Jacob, remember, means the heel grabber, the deceiver, the supplanter. But over the last number of weeks, as we've walked with Jacob, especially out of Paddan Aram, we've seen that a change has been occurring. That there's been a wrestling going on in his own life. On the one hand, he still uses his own ingenuity. He still schemes. He still plans. But on the other hand, there's also a greater dependence on God. We saw that earlier in this chapter last week, that prayer that Jacob offers up. Here is evidence that this is God's servant looking to his Father in heaven. Jacob's now on the border of the promised land. He's about to enter into the promised land. But before that happens, he's going to meet with God for a third time. This is the third and the last of these mysterious encounters, these unique personal encounters that Jacob has with God. We're going to see this morning that it's a transforming encounter. This meeting is going to change Jacob. Jacob is never going to be the same again. And this experience of Jacob, it's also a description of how God deals with us. In this intense struggle, God is removing Jacob's self-dependence. In this wrestling, God is bringing Jacob to the point where he must cling to God. God is using this circumstance to show Jacob that he has to trust in God, rely on God. Jacob has to see that it is God alone who brings the blessing. And here this morning we see that the touch of God, although it seems cruel and damaging, it is, in fact, a loving touch. It's a gracious touch. It's a touch that makes the servant cry out, "I will not let you go." In our circumstances, God calls on us to cling to Him through Christ. The way to know God's grace, the way to know blessing, the way to know the mercy of God, it is to cling to God through Christ. We have to realize that we have no strength on our own. We have to realize that we have to hold on to the one who is stronger than we are. We have to hold on to the one who gives blessing. We have to cry out, "I will not let go." We cry out that prayer because God has promised that He will not let us go. Let's look at the passage before us this morning. And we're looking at it under the heading, "I will not let you go." That's the title I've given to the sermon this morning. It's words that Jacob uses in this encounter with God. And the first thing that we notice this morning is the wrestling we experience. The wrestling we experience. Verse 24. A man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Jacob has sent his family on across the river, and he's come back. He's alone. And during the hours of darkness, a stranger has appeared and starts to wrestle with him. This isn't a vision. This is a physical, personal encounter. And it's a ferocious, grappling fight that goes on for hours. One of our young men in the congregation enjoys physical training that goes along with grappling and fighting. He often speaks of how tiring it is. It's physically demanding. And he says as well, at times it's humiliating, as your opponent gets you in a hold and you know that with one extra twist of the arm, an extra squeeze here, your arm could be broken. You could break your leg. You could break your neck. It's demanding. It's physical. This is a fight to the death that Jacob is involved in. Jacob is using all his energy. Think of the effort, the sweat, the weary muscles. Remember that Jacob, although advanced in years, he's an old man at this stage. He is still unusually strong. 20 years previously to this, he moved that large stone that covered the well, a stone that took several shepherds to move. Jacob could do it himself. He's a strong man. And now he's wrestling in the darkness with a stranger. It's long, strenuous, it's energy sapping. But of course, this is no ordinary stranger. This is God. This is the angel of the Lord. In Hosea chapter 12, we actually have a commentary on this incident. And Hosea, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says in chapter 12 and verses 3 and 4, he says of Jacob, he strove with God. He strove with the angel. And here in this passage, Jacob later on says that he has seen the face of God. He has met with God. This is God that he is wrestling with. It's God who gives the blessing. It can only be God. And this is the second person of the Godhead. This is the angel of the Lord. God the Son, before he came to earth as an incarnate man, before he took on human nature, Christ appears in the Old Testament at different points. And here he is. And he's wrestling with Jacob. God has acted. Notice that it's God that has taken the initiative. God is the one who has come down from heaven to stand in Jacob's way before Jacob enters into the promised land. It's God who starts the fight. God has encountered Jacob, and he has seized Jacob's time. He has seized Jacob's energy. He's laid hold of Jacob's emotions. This is the wrestling that Jacob is experiencing. And friends, this is the wrestling that we can experience. Not a physical grapple with God. It's not hand-to-hand combat. But the physical elements of this point to the spiritual. Our time, our energy, and our emotions, they can all be arrested. They can all be seized on Many of you have wrestled in the dark. Many of you have had your thoughts, your time, your energy, and your emotions taken hold of. Those things that grab us and hold us. Those things that seize us. Those things that keep us awake. Perhaps even this past week. That disappointment. That fear. That illness. That frustration. The sadness. The guilt over sin, worry, pain, depression, loneliness, our energy, our emotions and our thoughts, they can be taken up with these things and they are our struggles. The circumstances that come into our lives and they wear us down, they tire us out, that they drain us. Listen to what John Calvin says in his commentary on this verse. It is right to keep in view this design, to represent all the servants of God in this world as wrestlers, because the Lord exercises them with various kinds of conflicts. Moreover, it is not said that Satan or any mortal man wrestled with Jacob, but God Himself. We wrestle with the circumstances that God brings into our life. And these are the circumstances that seize our entire being. And they're common. They're common to all of Christ's people. We wrestle. Have you wrestled? Have you woken up at night and felt disappointment, sadness, frustration, or loneliness? Have you met that temptation that comes along time and time again? Now, we have to be careful here. We know that God doesn't tempt us. We're tempted by our own evil desires. But God does bring circumstances into our life. Again, Calvin says, John Calvin in this section is superb. And he says, as all prosperity flows from His goodness, so adversity is either the rod with which He corrects our sins or the test of our faith and patience. What was once exhibited under a visible form to our father Jacob is daily fulfilled and the individual members of the church. Calvin is saying that through our circumstances, God meets with us. And we wrestle. And we struggle. Just like Jacob is experiencing wrestling that can tire him out, drain him, and seize him. So it's common to us all. The wrestling we experience. But then secondly, here we also have the prayer we make. The prayer we make. Verse 26. Jacob cries out, I will not let you go. They've struggled all night. The sun is about to come up. And it's only at this point that we see the true power of the stranger who wrestles Jacob. This wrestling match has gone on for hour after hour. And Jacob's holding in there. He's fighting the bit out. And then when it comes time, the divine stranger gets his finger and touches Jacob's hip joint. That's the fight over. Jacob's hip dislocates. All it took was a touch. God has restrained his power in this struggle. He has held back. He has allowed Jacob to wrestle. He has allowed Jacob to expend all his energy and all of his emotions. God has kept Jacob in the fight. For a time, the Divine One has permitted Jacob to contend. For a time, God has allowed Jacob to use his own strength and to be successful in using his own strength. But now, one touch, and Jacob's a broken man. He's finished. He's beaten. There's nothing that Jacob can do. There's no way that Jacob can use any of his own strength. There's no way that he can use his own ability. He can't gain anything extra in this fight. He can't fall back on his own wisdom. He can't use his own cunning. All of it is gone. Jacob is broken. But look at the result of the brokenness. What does he do when he's a broken man? He clings to God. And he prays to God. He cries out, "I will not let you go." Think about this. Jacob, at his weakest point, holds on to the one who is stronger than he is. He doesn't want to let go of the one who has all the divine power. In his brokenness, he realizes that his only hope, his only help, is to cling to the one who is present with him. In the wrestling, Jacob's first priority is to cry out, to pray, to hold on. And that's the point of what God is doing with Jacob. That's the point that God is making with Jacob. Back to Hosea chapter 12, this inspired commentary on the passage. In verse 4, we are told about Jacob, he wept and sought his favor. Jacob cries out for mercy. He cries out for God to bless. He cries out for God to act and show grace. "I will not let you go, Lord, unless you act, unless you bless, unless you show your grace, your mercy." This whole section, it's not about a wrestling match. It's not about a struggle. That's not the subject. The subject here is the relationship between Jacob and God. It's about Jacob's relationship to God, his need for God, his dependence on God. The wrestling isn't the issue. The wrestling is only there to point us to the fact that Jacob must cry out. He must cling to God. There is no hope outside of the one who is all-powerful. This point we say to Jacob, "Jacob, where's your cunning now? Where's your great wisdom, your scheming, your planning, your great strength and ability?" And Jacob says, "It's nowhere. I have nothing of my own. I simply cling to God and I cry out, I will not let you go, for you alone can bless me." Where does this leave us in our wrestlings, in our struggles? Where does it leave us in our temptations? Well, it leaves us in the same place as Jacob, clinging on to the only one who can help, the only one who is powerful, the only one who can bless. we cling to God through Christ Jesus. And we say, I will not let you go. Bless me, Lord. Uphold me, Lord. Give me strength. Give me comfort. Give me help in my hour of need. As I wrestle, let me know your presence with me, that I might fall on you alone, so that I don't have to trust in my own strength and power, because I know I don't have any. Lord, I cling to you. In 1775, Reverend Augustus Toplady was caught in a storm one day. He found shelter by hiding in the crag of a rock. Afterwards, he wrote these words, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. I bring nothing. I have nothing of myself, but I cling to the cross. I cling to what Christ has done. And there, in the cross of Christ, there where our sin has been dealt with, where blessing has been achieved for us and accomplished for us, there is where we go. There is where we put our trust and our faith. And that is what we fall back on. My only hope in this life is that I cry out, and I will not let go. Because only in Christ, only in Christ will I find any comfort. Only in Christ will I find any strength. Only in Christ will I find any blessing." Isn't this our experience? How many times have you been brought to the point of breaking? And all you can do is cry out, "Lord, help. Give me strength. Lord, I'm not going to let go of you, because you have promised that you won't let go of me." It's our only hope. It's our only strength. Again, Calvin says, "This, though at first glance seems absurd, experience and reason teaches us to be true. God wrestles with us to make us cling to Him, to make us cry out to Him, to make us offer up our prayer to Him. I will not let go." Some of you, I know, are going through struggles. You're wrestling in the dark hours of the night. Friend, the struggles that you face, they're not actually your first priority. It's your relationship with God. And in those struggles, He is drawing you to Himself. And He's saying, "Cling to me. Hold on to me." And that's all that we can do. And cry out and say to Him, "I will not let go. Lord, I will not let go. Bless me. Give me your strength. Show me your grace. Show me your mercy. I have none of my own. I will not let go. Strengthen me. I need you." The prayer we make. And then thirdly and finally, the blessing we receive. The blessing we receive. "Your name shall be Israel." And there he blessed him. There's a question in verse 27. It's a question that God asks of Jacob. It's a very humbling question. When Jacob is holding on, when he's not letting go, the angel of the Lord turns to him and says, "What is your name?" It's not that he didn't know Jacob's name, but it's because of the answer that would be given. He said to him, "Jacob, my name is Deceiver. My name is Heel Grabber. My name is the one who cheats." That's what Jacob is saying. Here is an admission of guilt. And Jacob, as he says that name, must have felt a sense of humiliation. He must have sensed or have had a sense of real guilt. Just been asked his name. And he says, "I am the supplanter. Jacob." But God speaks to Jacob the cheat. And he says, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel." Israel means God strives or God fights. The name here is a play on words. God says to Jacob, "You have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed." Jacob has fought with God. But it's in the name Israel that God is making his point. God strives. And God is saying, "Jacob, just as you have fought with God and man, so I have struggled with you. And I will struggle for you. Jacob, I bring you to myself. Jacob, I will defend you. Jacob, I will give you the victory." That's what the name Israel is pointing us to. Jacob is about to go into the promised land. He's about to go into the covenant land. And he's going to go in a changed man. God blesses him. God goes before him. God strengthens him, upholds him, defends him, and God gives him the victory. It's all about relationship with God. In God there is victory. Soon Jacob will meet Esau. A terrifying prospect. God willing, we'll see that next week. But that's not the issue. That's not the priority. It's that Jacob can rely on God. He can fall back on God. And trust in God. And cling to God. Because God has promised that he will strive for Jacob. God has promised that Jacob will have the victory. This is the blessing that Jacob receives. For Jacob, there's no room for self-confidence. He can't be self-confident. He can't be self-reliant. There's no room for Jacob to be Jacob. He can't be the heel grabber. Instead, he goes forward as Israel. God strives with, and God strives for me. In God there is strength, in God there is victory. This is our blessing. It's the blessing of knowing that God strives with us, and he strives for us in Christ. The blessing that we receive is to know that all of ourself, our own strength is worth nothing, but God works for us. We're to know that our own cunning, our own planning, our own wisdom, it's worth nothing, but God works for us in Christ. And God teaches us to cling to him and to lean on him and to trust in what Christ has done for us on the cross, and to trust in the blessing of the promise that God goes with us, and to trust in the blessing of the promise that in Christ we have the victory, and that we will be brought through to the promised land. We will enter our eternal inheritance. And nothing can change that. Nothing can stop that from happening. Our wrestlings, they point us to clinging to God and knowing that in Him we have all the blessings we need. And so we say, like Jacob did, I will not let you go. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means to the face of God. He says, I've encountered God, and He has delivered me. And he also asked God a question, what is your name? And God didn't give his name here, but through the revelation of Scripture, we know that this name is the name that is above every name. It's the name of Jesus Christ, the one in whom we receive blessing, the one through whom we have met with God and we've been delivered. And this is the blessing that we receive, to know that we can trust in Him alone, move forward with Him alone. We cling to Him alone. Gives us the strength. He gives us the victory because we are Israel. He strives with, He strives for us. And Jacob enters the promised land. But look at how he enters. Look at how he has to go through the rest of his life. Verse 31, he has a limp. Jacob is going to carry a mark that will remind him of this every day. It's a bit like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh. It's a reminder that it's God's grace that is sufficient. A constant reminder to cling to God. And friends, we can be left with reminders after our wrestlings. We can be left with reminders after our struggles. The blessing isn't that the struggle will be lifted in this life. It's not a promise that we'll be left untouched. But we can be left with marks. We can be left limping. God can remove things from us. He can remove our health. He can remove loved ones. He can remove our job. God can leave us with marks that remind us that we are to lean on Him and cling to Him. But friends, remember, these are loving, gracious touches. These are loving, gracious marks that remind us that we are to cry out, I will not let you go. I will cling to you. Constant, gracious reminder that God strives with and for us. What is the point of this passage? Why did Jacob have this strange encounter with God? Well, it's here to point us to the wonderful truth that we can cling to God through Christ. There's the promise of blessing through Christ. And our struggles are there to teach us that we are to cling on and hold on, because He has already promised us that He will not let us go. He will not leave us or forsake us. But He is the God who strives with us and for us. In Christ we have the victory. In Christ, we find the strength. Are you ready to say this morning, Lord, I will not let you go. Amen.